Welcome to LeagueCast.
Hello and welcome to episode 630. I'm your host, Nick. Joining me is Aiden.
Hey.
He's back. And Colton.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. On this week, we've got a little bit of LeagueCast news, a decent number of new news and bi-weeklies that we'll talk about, sort of intertwined between the two, a new roundtable, and then we'll close it out with emails because, hey, I forgot to grab the emails before last week's show, and Aiden wasn't here to keep us on track. But, Aiden, how was your past 2 weeks?
My past 2 weeks were good. I've played very little League. I played some ARAMs, and I think that's it.
Surely we've played some normal.
I feel like maybe I didn't talk about it on the show, but Colton and I played a bunch of like fun bottom lanes. But I don't know when that was.
It was one of the past two weeks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I guess it's 5 days ago. We played some Vi Silas. Colton's really good at Silas. I'm sure he can tell you about that. And then we played Volibear. Dude, I understand why they have to balance games around like rank and MR and shit like that. But Colton and I play, it's support Volibear and carry AP Recon.
That sounds like shit.
It wasn't great, but like we laid against a Grandmaster Aphelios one trick playing Aphelios.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know if you could draft a worse lane.
I think
I don't think it was that bad, but like I don't think it was good.
So Aiden pitches it to me. He's like, I want to play Volibear support and you play something that can like follow up on my Q stun.
And we just like big boys them.
Yeah, okay. And we just big boys them. And so like the initial thought was maybe Darius, and like we ended up having like a pretty AD heavy team. So I'm like, okay, as Rakan, I can E onto him and then W follow-ups, like even if he's a mile away when he hits Q, I can follow up. And like we probably have enough damage. And then we're against, yeah, like a fucking GM Aphelios one trick plus like a diamond Soraka. So you just like can't get near them ever. It's so annoying.
That is, yeah.
The one fight where we did kill them, we just like fucking sat on them the entire time. It was so funny though.
That's hilarious.
We got in there a few times, I think. It did not work out well. And then like our top mid jungle got absolutely bodied, and we're like, fuck this, go next.
It is really funny when we're like negative like one or two kills playing full of air support and a con carry, and just the rest of our team's like negative 12 across all of them. Yeah. We're like, what's going
on? Like you're
on,
not guys? The you're not the worst part of that team. Somehow.
Yeah, we're not helping, but like, it's funny. Oh, one other thing I want to update on, because I got a message about it. People were like laughing about me talking about like the shitty Tom Kench builds on Reddit that I fucking.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think I might have sent you a message about it, Nick.
You did.
But there was something like a post, and it was like, dude, I fucking hate this. So people constantly, like, for context, I talked a couple weeks ago about how like every single day there's like a new post on the Tom Kench main subreddit where it's like, the River King is fucking OP with this build, new build, and it's just always shit like trying to fit in Titanic Hydra, trying to go lethal tempo, trying to go like Rage Blade, going full AP, just doing shit that you don't need to do on my character, right?
Not Heartsteel.
And usually it's only Heartsteel when you're playing support with Grasp for some reason.
Oh, okay.
Just garbage, right? And it's like, oh, I understand he can do that because he's tanks are OP and he's pretty actually strong right now.
Yeah.
But it's just not good builds, and people just try to get spicy with it for no reason. And then the comments are always like, I've been trying this as well. I think it's really, really good up into Emerald. And I'm like, kill me. And then, dude, this one guy who's obviously newer to the game posts, and he's like, tank Tom Kench is broken, and his build is Sunfire, Tabby's, Heartsteel, Thornmail, Spirit Visage, and then a Chain Vest. And
okay.
He probably didn't need Thornmail. That's like the only thing I would really complain about his build. Like, it's not that good, but whatever.
Okay.
Fucking top comment. Yes, it's true. What you guys are all thinking. This indeed is bronze. And then someone replies to that and goes, man, seriously, thank you for this. I was boiling inside thinking, man, this has got to be one of the worst item builds I've ever seen so
far.
But then I decided to not bother with it. Everyone does what they want. It's like, I can't say that on the show.
That's crazy.
keep yourself safe, person. Oh my god, it's like just like, dude, it's just like every single post, like, is that like ironic? It's not ironic. Like, that person also, by the way, is high yellow. That person posts all the time. He's like an EU EN, like the other EU server, like
he's
peaked master tier like 3 years ago or something like that. He hasn't gotten diamond since, but like, it's like, that guy's not bad at the game, and he's, why are you shitting on a bronze player for having a pretty standard tank build?
Like, yeah, like a pretty fine build, all things considered, especially, that's wild. And I think, like, part of that really points out how much of the League player base, or at least, like, the vocal ones in Reddit, are just looking for a gimmick and not actually trying to get better
trying to
and
improve.
Just play well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? It's like, check out this new crazy build where I go Nashers and lethal tempo. I do so much damage. It's like, you want to know what? It's better than that. Having good laning, hitting your last hits, not dying to ganks.
I mean, that's all that matters. It's like the rail. Yeah. We'll talk about that like later in the show as well, because I'm saying it kind of ties into some other things. But like, anyways, that's my update. Fucking check out that. Check out like any. Honestly, I'm sure all
any
main subreddits are like this. I'm sure they all just come up with just garbage shit. Dude, it's fucking ridiculous.
Well, there's only so much you can say. Like, hey, the meta stuff is good, right? Yeah. Like, that's boring.
And I think the context of that post, of those posts, matters so much, where it was just like, look at this fun build I did. Like, look at this fun AP build. I did a lot of damage, right? Like, that's totally fine. That's true. That's accurate. But, like, trying to convince people that Tahm Kench should be going, like, I don't know, Liandry's, Nashor's, Hourglass, like, and that's the best build. It's like, no, like, you did it for fun build.
Mm-hmm. Dude, the second post on the subreddit right now is lethal tempo Kench after the nerf, even after the recent nerf to lethal tempo, buffed after level 10, by the way, still dominated hard of this build. And you post about like him doing really well. He's playing Tahm Kench support going lethal tempo, like
support. I didn't realize that was a support game.
It's a support.
I think
post,
you sent me that.
Oh my god, it's a support post, and like, this is Emerald. This is Emerald 3.
Yeah,
and I'm sure the comments are like, "Yeah, been running this a lot."
This is correct.
I'm just imagining like this guy at Emerald 3 with that build and setup, and there are people who are like hard stuck in silver and like convinced that it's their character or their build or whatever holding them back.
Yeah,
and it's like.
I sent it to Nick. I sent it to Nick because someone on the top post, most people are like saying, hey, this is a cool build and stuff. And then the top post is like, hey, nothing wrong with nothing wrong with enjoying a build and saying it's fun, but stop selling this as broken. He like goes in and explains how this actually isn't a good build. Kind of like what we're doing. And their response to it is, you sure sound like someone named Nancy. Yeah. Negative Nancy.
I was cracking up so much when I read that.
Oh, fuck, dude.
You sound
so
you sound like Nancy. Negative Nancy.
Keep up with that attitude. You must be popular at parties. Dude, it's so funny.
I don't think anyone who plays Tahm Kench is going to parties, I'll be honest. Sorry,
you.
Aiden.
No, it's fine. Anyways, that's my rant for the week. Other than that, I've been playing Maple Story, so.
Whoa.
So I've been not playing a ton of League. The, like, maybe 5 or 6 games I played did not go well. I think I lost 4-5 in a row.
Yeah, it was bad. I was looking for something that we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was not looking too good for the boy.
I was not playing like great, but I also think several of those games like were just big fucking.
Is it team discrepancy?
Team discrepancy.
Team disparity.
Some of them, yeah. Like I had like a Riven who. Was I think 4-2 got ganked by their mid laner and then got Moby tier Sheen and started running it because how dare a mid laner not ping and I get ganked a single time. Had a Draven who didn't auto attack when I hooked people's Nautilus. I hooked their Varus, I think it was at like level 1. He autos him once and starts running away. And it's like, you lethal tempo Draven, like your Q is stronger than lethal tempo Varus, who just autos and has like
the
E that he already used. Like we win that trade at I think I had a similar one with a Blitzcrank game, and it was like a Lucian, and it's like same thing. It's like, this is a level one Lucian who started E to dodge my hook in the invade, and like, you are lethal tempo Draven. You win this. Just hit him.
kind of related. I was making jokes a couple weeks ago about how like Colton was in the Genjutsu because he was in the cycle of he would lose two, win two, lose two, win two.
He's out.
Like it was on for like 15 games. And Colton, I don't think I compliment you enough, dude, but you're funny because Colton messages and he's like, I broke out of the Genjutsu. He wins three in a row. And then like half an hour later, he messages, this new Genjutsu sucks. And it's him losing three in a row. dude, that's so funny.
That is very funny.
Yeah, because I was like, okay, now I'm just up. I'm like, I won three in a row. And I'm like, man, I sure hope the new Genjutsu isn't me winning three, then losing three. I lose three in a row. I'm like, man, this one doing sucks. And I lose like three more. And I'm like, fuck.
No.
I thought that was very funny. I didn't compliment you on it. So.
And so, yeah, I'm down to... Oh, God, I'm only down to 118 points. I thought I lost more LP I thought I was at, like, 80. But I don't know. I've also been playing a lot of TFT. I think I'm up to, like, nearly... I'm in Emerald 4 in Double Up and Plat 3 in Regular. I'm playing a lot of Double Up with Quinn and a lot of just, like... regular ranked TFT. Gonna try and probably just hit diamond. I don't know if I'm gonna try and grind to master in solo, but I think Quinn and I can probably hit masters again and double up. It's I think TFT is a lot more fun like with people than just like grinding solo.
That's probably true with most solo. Things
just video games in general.
In general, but yeah, that's about it for video games. I've also been playing a ton of Balatro. I think I talked about that on last week's show. Highly recommend it if you like roguelike and deck building games. It's been a whole lot of fun. And that's about it for me. So, Nick, what you got for us?
I've just played a little bit of, I think, ARAMs. I don't think I've played anything else. Maybe some normals. I can't remember when we played some normals. But otherwise, I've been playing a lot of Path of Exile, watching a lot of Balatro. I don't, like, that is such a cool game to me, but I don't know if I'll ever be able to play it because my brain's way too fucking small.
It seems like a game that's way easier to play than to watch.
You think so?
I think so. I think it's just roguelike... I'm not going to call it a deck builder, but it kind of is a deck builder.
Yeah, sort of. It's like a combo of all those things.
I also been watching people play it a lot, and I think it's just like way harder to like pay attention to the cards they have when you're not playing it. You know what I mean?
That's fair, I guess.
Because I find it really hard to watch Slay the Spire as well. And I think it's like
interesting. Do you feel like it's because you know how to play, so then... Like when
that's definitely part of it, but I I've played a lot of Slay the Spire now. I'm not sure, maybe Colton, you even played more. Like, do you find it hard to watch Slay the Spire? Because I find it really hard to follow people's runs still. Like, even though I've played a shitload,
really haven't tried a whole lot. I've watched some like modded runs, and I don't have a huge issue following it. I can't say that I've watched like enough of it to have a great read on it. But I think. It's weird because I feel like for Slay the Spire, all the information you need is pretty readily available without even seeing the deck or with like seeing only one hand, right? Because like most characters have like two good builds and one sometimes good build. and then like depending on the I forget what they're called in the game, like not trinkets but whatever the little like
model relics.
relics they have, you know, you can have a better idea. It's like, oh, they've, you know, if you're playing the silent and they have like two poison relics, it's like, okay, this is probably a poison build. You know, if you see that they're playing the robot and that their first hand has just like five powers in it, you're like, okay, you're just doing the like stack a bunch of powers deck.
But either way, like, it's super fun to watch those, see it pop off, you know, when you get something good. But I don't know if I'll like actually get it, so we'll see. Other than that, I started my new job, I believe, this past week.
I'm not sure.
Is it not true?
No, I was just saying you're not sure if you started it.
Yeah, well, because it's like that one started on, I think, on Friday. Yeah. And the podcast is Tuesday to Tuesday. So just weird, you know, week discrepancies. But so far, I'm enjoying it a lot more. I'll be honest, guys, it's really, really nice to come home at 4 p.m. And, you know, it's a half hour commute. So it's not like, you know, I think I work like I work 7:30 to 3:30. So I don't know. I'm enjoying that so far. More than my other job, fortunately. So I think that's about it. So if we want to get on with the show, we can do that. No new patrons this week because we read Clue last week. He can have a little double since I think we missed him. Aiden, any other LeagueCast news?
Nothing too crazy. I have some stuff I'm cooking up for maybe next show.
Okay.
It might be good, it might not, but I think it'll be fun. Let's just say it's some Zoomer shit.
Ooh.
Oh, God.
Zoomer shit that I've turned into Boomer shit.
Hell yeah.
Ooh, we love that.
So I'm trying to get at least one more part of it ready. I have two ready to go. And then I don't know how they'll go. They might be shit and they might be ass, but hey, we're trying to appeal to the youth, dude.
Is it something that after the show you can tell us about, or is it going to be secret until we do it?
I won't tell you exactly what it is, but I'll tell you. Like, I'm taking TikTok trends and turning them into League of Legends things we can do as a quick like 5 minute bit times three.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
And I think it's that's fun. Gonna I think the suck. Idea is
fun. Maybe. It'll all probably right. be fine.
Sick. All right.
Cool.
So new news time.
Yeah.
Tell us about this team disparity tag.
Oh yeah, Nick.
So on OPGG, I saw this on Reddit and I wasn't sure because it's not on the mobile OPGG app, but it is on the desktop version, and I just wanted you guys' sort of like thoughts and opinions on the team disparity tag. When a player does well via their like performance metric, whatever they have, but you guys lose the game anyway. Which when I read that, I was like, oh, that's like that can't be real, like that's ridiculous, but it is real. And just wanted to know what you guys thought about that.
Yeah, so just context, OP.GG has been experimenting with these things for a while because for like they used to only have like the number score for like a long time, and then they added ace and what's the MVP. So MVP mm-hmm. is for the highest performing member on the winning team, and ace is if you're the highest performing member on the losing team, which I didn't think it would be an issue, but I do see people reference that a lot about getting lots of aces and their team being shit. So you could argue that this new system is also a addition to that, I guess, would be the way to look at it.
Yeah.
That being said, so like Nick and I talked a little bit before the show, I don't have any issues at all because I am a normal human being who uses data and stuff in not a psychopath way. So I'm going to use this as, hey, it's a quick way to see like games in which I performed well and my teammates didn't. And that's the certain end of it. The issue is how many people are going to use it as, I just lost six games in a row and I had team disparity in five of them. So I'm in loser's queue. That's the issue, right?
Yeah. So 100% the problem. And I think we've already seen some stuff. I might have been even on the Reddit like thread that I saw highlighting this. So yeah, just sort of curious what you think. What about you, Colton?
I think that, you know, kind of along the lines of what Aiden was saying, like it's not going to affect me at all, but I think a lot of people are going to interpret it wrong, and it's just going to be another thing that they point to. That's not, I need to play better for why they lose games. You know, I posted a link because I went to my OP.GG to see this. This is a game that they flagged as team disparity where we are higher or equal on four roles. We're higher in three roles, tied for mid. And so the only role that they actually have a lead is jungle. And it flagged team disparity. And I'm like, what? Like,
you're just trying your best, man. Your team is holding you back. No.
Yes. Yeah. Facts.
You know, I think we lost that game because of the Shaco. Sure. But like, hey, that's the numbers game. Sometimes somebody on your team doesn't perform well. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think all of those tags, you know, It's tough because, like, they're not strictly wrong, but I think players don't take the context and, like, internalize and actually compare their gameplay. And so, like, I've seen this all the time of people being like, oh, OP.GG says I'm good at X character, or I'm, like, strong early, or I'm, you know, good with a lead or bad with a lead, or, like, whatever it's telling them. And then, like, that's just the end of the story. And that's never, like, and that means I need to improve my late game because I get leads and I lose them, or, right, like...
Yeah.
It's never then
there's
turned
no more analysis.
To, I can improve using this data. I can get better at the game, which is the only way that they're going to see more success is by continuing to improve how they're playing. Mm-hmm. And again, I think most people will stop and just say, team disparity, I'm mastery 7, I played perfectly, and they gave me an OP score of 8, so there was nothing I could have done. I only lose because of my teammates.
Yeah.
And I also think just those numbers are not particularly, like, well calibrated. I think, you know, I've seen a lot of scores where I'm just like, oh yeah, that person got like an 8 and was doing nothing, or that person was like doing a ton and was really impactful in the win and they got like a 3.
Yeah. Another thing Nick and I discussed before is I personally have issue with how they do the opposite, right? So when you're doing well in theory and your team does poorly, it says team disparity, right? Which I would say has a pretty negative connotation for like team gap, losers queue, yada yada yada. And when you do poorly and your team does well, it says struggled. And I feel like that's like a, like, I don't know. I want it to either say like, hey, you got fucking lead in your boots, you're of actual fucking like, you're the reason why you're losing games, or say something like, holy fuck, you're ugly and terrible at the game. Like, it needs to have something like equal. I'd say just saying struggled is like so easy to wave off compared to.
Yeah, struggled is a very minor, like, oh, it wasn't that bad. I just struggled a little bit.
Like the actual, yeah. Like, without like joking, like an actual term would be something like dead weight or something. Like, honestly, like if it said dead weight, like in the games that you do, you play like shit, like that would actually like, have a term that means something, I think. But
yeah,
maybe I'm overthinking it.
I think, yeah, a lot of these terms, again, like it's kind of just fake analysis that doesn't get to the root of it. Like I'm looking through my history more. There was a game we played, a normal, Aiden, you were in this game, where I first timed Hui, bot lane did not go well. I mean, we weren't doing well anywhere on the map, I don't think, except no, Nick was ahead. Nick did pretty well that game. I had 19 deaths. I went 5, ooh, 19 and 14. And the only tag it gives is resilience. You showed resilience by not giving up until the very end. Like, what?
Didn't quit.
I mean, I sure I did a lot of damage this way. I started figuring out the kit eventually.
Yeah.
But like, again, you know, like if you're going to give these tags.
I should say, holy fuck, don't lock in that character again.
Uh-huh. The our Volibear recon game just downhill had a strong start but struggled as the match continued.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. A lot of these just seem kind of fake to me, and it just goes around the problem of, hey, play better.
Yeah, I think as long as
sorry.
I was going to say, as long as we just keep each other honest, I think it's the important thing, right? Like I think in our community, at least, we've raised some good league players who don't blame their teammates as much as like the general public, it seems like, at least.
Yeah. I think definitely don't think the problem is like, or if someone does, you know, which we all understand can be frustrating. Like, no one's going to blame you for being frustrated at, like, popping off and everyone else on your team doing poorly. Like, that's understandable. But I think we all do a good job of like, okay, well, you won this game where you were turbo feeding. So, you know, maybe it all evens out in the end, like we always say.
I've never seen an account where someone's like, oh my God, my team like fucking loses me every game, and then not seen a single game in their like last 20 where they played poorly.
Like, yeah, which is not exist. Like, which, you know, is not to say that one game is not frustrating. Like, we definitely understand that. It's just, come on, like, long-term versus short-term analysis.
And, well, yeah, right. And people, there's a difference between this game was frustrating and what a lot of people say is like, this game sucked, this is why I can't climb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking through. I had an MVP Akshan game here with a score of exactly 10, which I think is perfect. Ooh, by their metrics.
Perfect. Yeah.
I did not get an S that game. It was like a 15-minute game. I was 10-2-9, but our 3-1-4 Blitzcrank did get an S.
S's are so strange. I almost feel like they're too manipulatable.
They are, and like it's just again, right? Like it's another fake metric. That people are like, I got an S, I played well. It's like
you want another fake metric? Fucking mastery score.
Yeah.
True.
I'll admit, I've been getting in more arguments in League than I used to. Mostly because we play ARAMs more often, and there's just always lonely people who get mad at your teammates, and I'm not very good at dealing with when people are mad at my friends.
Aiden is the most toxic ARAM player ever.
I'm like,
Aiden's just a giant white knight.
Yeah, I'm just like, I want to be like Nick's dad. If someone's like mean to Nick, I want to be like, I'll go beat up their kid.
You're the dad who's going to beat up the kids who pick on him, but then you bring your kid out and like parade them and like, pick on my son. Pick on him. Do it. I want to fucking, I want to beat up your dad. Say something mean about my son.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
But anyways, like this guy, I got in a little bit of a tussle with this guy because he's being mean to Nick. And then after the game, we added each other. And he called me some slurs, so he's not the good guy. I'm the good guy here.
Remember that.
he was like building like shit and flaming Nick for building something that was. I thought Nick's build was fine. He's playing Smolder and building like pretty standard. He's building like the Essence Reaver Shojin build.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Either way. And the guy goes, "What the fuck do you even know? You only have 25 mastery score." Because I was like on a
Smurf.
It's just like, dude, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's really weird. Also, it's funny because, like, I don't have chat turned on, so I don't see the things that they're typing. It's just Aiden getting upset for me when I can't see it, which is really funny.
It just makes me so mad that people do it all the time, and, like, they're always playing by themselves. They always just are, like, playing games by themselves, and maybe it's just they actually just unhappy, and that's probably, like, part of it, and maybe I should be easier on people who are unhappy and play League as an outlet, but, like, fuck you.
Yeah, it is funny, and I honestly, like, I think I find myself the most toxic when I play, if I ever play a room by myself. Yeah. There's just something about like I'm playing perfectly. So
cool.
Awesome. I guess we can talk about the patch notes then, huh?
Yeah, we can go through it pretty quick. It's pretty fucking boring. Yeah, it's pretty short. Dude. I mean, patches are always boring, man.
Patches have been rather boring this season so far.
Patches are always fun because it's a little mini game where you get to look for typos or parts where the little short version doesn't line up with the actual numbers.
Or things that don't make sense.
True. Like things that don't make sense, like the fact that Maokai isn't nerfed.
Yeah.
they already removed it, but the top thing on the patch earlier today was a thing about Vanguard, which
we're back. Because
they mistyped some shit, and it like they had wrong dates on there, which is also funny. But like... Vanguard is going live only in the Philippines, the Philippines server, in like a couple.
Yeah.
It's supposed to go live this patch.
Yeah.
But now it's not going live this patch.
Oh. Yeah, because we talked about that on the last show that we all dodged Vanguard being on this server.
Yeah, so now it's going live on the Philippines maybe 14.6, and then eventually. Surely. It's just like, it was supposed to go live to every server in 14.1.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're 12 weeks later, dude, and it's launching on one server. Like, I don't know, man. What a fucking botched launch of a thing that no one wants. The one thing that we none of us brought up, by the way, is this might fix botting. That's something we
haven't talked interesting.
About.
Okay.
Because if they can lock down their stuff more, you'd assume that, like, they can, like, have a better idea of what bot platforms and stuff are used. So, if it can fix that, I think that's probably just a win. Like,
yeah, that would be sick. Let's hope so.
They haven't talked about it, but I'm sure they don't want to talk about it. I'm sure they want to, like, kind of...
It's probably... it's probably one of those things that you, like, you come out with after, like, results, you know?
Yeah. Oh, we banned X number of botted accounts or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah. Hopefully that's the one... That's the only upside I see of Vanguard.
Hell yeah. That would be sick.
You want to know what else would solve that problem?
What?
If you could purchase a level 30 account for $5.
Yeah, and link it to your main account so they both get punishment, so you can't be toxic on those accounts either.
Yeah.
That's too good of an idea.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Want to talk about champions?
Yeah, let's do it. Belveth is up first. E damage reduction is decreased. Bug fix the passive that gave Belveth too many stacks from Epic Void monsters. Cool.
Brand, passive damage to monsters increased, R damage decreased, cooldown increased for Czar. So a little bit better clear, but generally a nerf.
We won't get into it here. We can maybe talk about it a different week, but Nick Colton and I had a normal game we played with some friends where we were some crybabies, but I think we, underneath all of our crying and whining and pissing and shitting, are some good points of, like, there needs to be discussion about, like, Riot arbitrarily deciding what characters are just randomly good in whatever roles.
Like, yeah, this was not with regards to Brand, although it was for TF, yeah, it's been to ADTF.
Yeah, just it is gross.
It's just weird. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's not even like Colton brought up a great point that we don't need to get into here, but Colton brought up a great point just to like echo that. Was like, whenever they've done it, every single time, for like, we're gonna make this character a jungler, we're gonna make this character an AD carry, we're gonna make this character a whatever, they've always overshot and then they become a top three character in the role. They've never once like had it go like, oh, now it's like a top 20 character
in that role. Yeah. I'll elaborate on it. Like, the point I was trying to make with it is that I think that these changes are generally fine if what they're trying to do is take a character from like C tier to like A tier, or like mid to low A tier.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, I'm going to take a character that's basically unplayable in a role or with a build and make it possible to do that. Right. Like, you go from like not being able to jungle rel to now you can, or being able to like not build ADTF without it being pretty well trolling, to like now it is viable. But what happens is they take it from C tier to S plus tier, and then they either like leave it there or they like change something else. In this case, I think they like nerfed APTF because
they nerfed APTF. I don't know if it was last patch or the patch before.
Oh, dude, when they fucking said it, we don't believe ADTF is OP. Dude, that's the only part that made me like really, really sad.
Ugh. Yeah, it just sucks that he has such reliable CC. Like, I don't know. And then it just applies, like, on hits so well. It's so difficult to deal with him specifically.
He also, right, like, he gets accelerated gold, and he, I think, uniquely has that. So he has so much unique that AD carries don't get, right? And that's why I think, like, in the playing him bot is, I think, generally a little bit more problematic than him mid, even though I think both is he's very strong in both. But it's like, he gets to do a lot of the things that AD carries never get to do, right? Like, he has reliable CC on a low cooldown. No AD carry has that. A lot of them have alts that have some nice CC, but, like, nobody else has, like, reliable, consistent CC that
moves
a lot. Right? Like, the closest is maybe, like, Ashe slows or, like, Aphelios,
Caitlyn trap follow-up. Yeah, that's a good one too.
But yeah, like that's nowhere near like a 2 second stun on a 5 second cooldown.
Mm-hmm.
And right, like he gets tons of extra gold income. He can alt to be at other plays if he needs to, which is nice if it's like, oh, I can farm the bot wave and show up for the Herald fight, or just like if I die in lane, I can just like alt back to lane, right? Like he's just got so much that most AD carries don't get, and it's like he doesn't have to sacrifice any damage for having a useless Q, a damageless R. Like, the only thing I guess he's missing is mobility, but
characters can take flash ghosts, so
but AD carries are allowed to take ghosts. Aiden, tell us how you would ban that summoner spell.
It should just be mobility and then other, right? Like, you can pick flash or ghost, maybe even throw teleport in there, I don't know.
I definitely hate it because of AD carries, but like, I'd be fine if them just like removing it for like everything. You shouldn't be able to run flash and ghost. So dumb.
Yeah. I think it needs to be one or the other, not both.
Cool. Let's talk about Evelynn. Evelynn's Q damage has been decreased. Woo.
Whoa. She's crazy. I don't actually know if she was good. I feel like she, I don't know. I didn't see her anywhere.
She's good. Solo she's really good right now. She's like third or fourth win rate in high elo.
Okay. Cool. Jarvan, armor growth increased. Q cooldown is decreased. Uh-oh, Jarvan buffs.
Okay. Kayn, passive darken healing increase. Ultimate darken healing increase. So some buffs to darken red Kayn, because I think blue is the much stronger version right now.
I do like that it's the healing that is going up and like not damage or anything like that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you would not need to buff damage because you just buy one damage item and can 100 to zero anything.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Kog'Maw, passive bonus movement speed increased. Q cast time adjusted. E slow increased. R damage increased. The Q cast time, by the way, is now it matches this auto attack frame. So it feels like more similar to just like weaving in an auto attack. So feels cool.
Cool. Maokai, base movement speed decreased. Q bonus damage to monsters increased. W cooldown is increased. Do we think this is enough? Probably not.
No, I also, like, as much as I think Maokai is probably one of the best characters in the entire game, I also think it's fine for engaged supports to be good, right? Like, I would like him, I'd rather him be 52% win rate than 48, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all feel the same way that we would much rather have engaged supports be better than just enchanters on both sides, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But, I mean, I do understand, like, hey, it's kind of frustrating that this very simple characters has been so good for so long.
Yeah. I think, like, I would say, like, pretty accurate complaint that a lot of people have is, like, while I agree with you, I'd rather see 52% than 48%. Like, 57% is a problem, or, like, 55%
problem. Yeah. And I think everyone would agree. I don't think there's anyone who says like, "Oh, Maokai should remain the same or is too weak." I definitely don't think anyone thinks that.
I think a lot of people,
maybe except for Freak,
a lot of people think that Freak think that.
Yeah.
They would be incorrect.
Yeah, we can talk about that later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Nidalee, base movement speed decreased by 5, and Cougar Q bonus damage to hunted targets is down by 10%.
Interesting. I would not have expected some compensation nerfs. I guess it's just all nerfs, huh?
It's all nerfs. Like, I mean, she's at like a 57% win rate in Masters Plus.
Mm-hmm. But all the changes they buffed were her like heal changes.
And yeah, that's really weird.
I think she was like already good. She's just like underplayed before, and like the heal changes got her to be played more. But like once again, I'm sure if you're a Nidalee player, it doesn't feel good getting your heal buffed and then everything else nerfed.
Yeah, it is kind of weird that we have. We've definitely talked about this before, but like,
yeah,
something gets buffed, character very strong. That thing is not the thing that gets nerfed subsequently.
Yeah, and you like there's times I agree with it, right? Like there's times where you want to buff something that's more fun, and then you nerf like a less fun part of their kit.
Yeah.
But like her heal isn't the fun part of her kit unless I'm crazy.
It's fun if you're top lane, but like who plays Nidalee top lane?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just a weird approach to like problem solving where like to do an analogy, it's like, I don't know, my game system isn't working and I put in like new batteries. And, like, it's still not working, so I replace the screen, and I don't double-check that the batteries isn't still the issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good analogy.
Right, yeah. It's like, I put in batteries that I'm not sure are even good ones. And it's like, rather than check those batteries, I'm just going to start now, like, replacing the screen or whatever. Like,
I don't know. That's funny.
Rek'Sai is getting various quality of life updates and bug fixes. E damage and monster cap increased. R damage increased. If anyone follows I Will Dominate, he had some kind words for Riot about that release, which I think is fair. Like, I don't think maybe like to the degree that he was talking about it is like fair, but like it's, for those who don't know, Rek'Sai, the biggest change to Rek'Sai, they kind of reworked the entire character, but the biggest issue people were having is that the Q got changed from a spell to auto attacks, and it was changed to functionally be the same, right? Like, it spins at the same speed, yada, yada, yada. The issue is, it feels like zero players or no one playtested it, because, like, it gets interrupted. Now that it's an auto attack, it gets interrupted by anything. If you input a movement command, it gets interrupted. If you use Stride Breaker, it gets interrupted. If you get hit by anything, it gets interrupted. Like, it's just a bunch of things that like didn't happen before, and maybe they intended that, but it felt so shit. Like, I didn't play Rek'Sai, don't get me wrong. I'm just going off of what people said. Like, that, like, it's almost unbelievable that no one tested that and was like, this is cool to push to live. So I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like they also added a second E ability for when you're unburrowed, you can bite people now.
It'll never get old.
It never, Aiden.
That's so funny.
I'm always like so excited to listen to what you have to say too.
Maybe you shouldn't be.
Yeah, I won't be.
As long as it's not about Rek'Sai, I think we could.
Cool.
But yeah, it is weird. Senna, Q damage is decreased. I don't think that's gonna. I don't think that's the problem.
And it's
yeah,
10% bonus AD ratio is it's down. Yeah, that's
ooh, cool.
Kind of a nothing change.
Maybe. Unplayable.
Yep. Seraphine, all abilities adjusted. Oh boy, that's four paragraphs of text. Oh boy. Movement
can we
speed
just summarize?
Up. Mana adjusted, AD down. Aiden, do you have a high level summary?
I was just gonna read their paragraph. That would be my solution because they'll tell us what they want to do.
The paragraph four, 2 and 3.
2 and 3.
2 and 3, I think.
Sure, for AP carry Seraphine, we are increasing the repeated damage. Q's missile speed and execute damage against champions has gone up, and E is now going to be more worthy of maxing over W by giving it a better AP ratio. As compensation, she's losing a lot of power against minions and a little bit of top end ultimate power. I don't know what top end means. We'll see about that. Support Seraphine, embracing different builds. There's a logical case for every conceivable skill order, and we're trying to make those choices more valuable based on the type of game you're in. Want to be more about shielding? It should be viable to max W, but it should also be viable to max E or Q. You know, if you want to go full support or build damage, those things should be viable. It'd be wild if other characters it was the same way and there wasn't just like
I was just about to say, is there a character that you can think of where they've encouraged this instead of actively like
I don't think it fucking matters though, Nick. Like, we don't live in a world where like the game is like not hyper optimized to where, like I don't know, like this is just a fucking dream that Riot's having 14 years too late, I think, for this one.
I think
it's just funny because like I don't know, I can distinctly remember like Akshon, right, where you would just max his E first,
yeah,
and now you have to max Q first. Or I mean, I'm sure there's a billion other characters that we can like think of like that. It's just is very strange.
I think this is something that Riot has tried to do a bunch of times,
yeah,
and never really succeeded. And I don't think it's really possible for a game as like complex and with as much data as League has that like there's just gonna be a best build for like 99% of situations. You know, I think again throughout the years we've seen a ton of different variants where like maybe for a time one build was better or there were like two viable builds available, but it's really, really rare to ever have a situation where like you can actually like totally mix up your skill order depending on the game and have it work. You know,
I was just going to quickly say, I think the closest thing we're at right now, Colton, is like there's some characters that I can think of where there's matchups where it's ideal to put like a couple points into an ability before maxing a different ability.
Yeah.
I think there's like a lot of characters, and that's and also to give Riot credit, a lot of people don't fucking do that. And like, it's trying to get like popularized, but people fucking autopilot shit. So like, even if they get it like to that point, it's hard to convince people to do.
Yeah, right. Like, I think a lot of Nasus matchups, I think Drew was mentioning this, was like, why don't Nasus players just put 3 points into E, start Doran's Ring, and then like survive the lane to level 6?
Well, because you want those big stacks.
Yeah.
Your goal's not to win, it's to stack.
Yeah, I think, you know, probably to me, the best example like against this being possible is probably Kha'Zix. Because like, we've had metas where every evolve like have been viable and have been good, and that like, you know, Q first is best, W first is best, E first I guess probably has never been best, but like E second has been good in a lot of metas, but I think a lot of people go away from it now and just never upgrade the E. But like in all of those situations, it was just like, for this 3 month window, you maxed this skill. For this 3 month window, it was this one. For this three, like, it's never been a situation, I think, where like it was truly just as viable to do one over the other. And, yeah, you know, I think it is playable, right? Like, even today, I'm sure you could go R first or W first or Q first and find success.
Yeah, for sure.
But, like, at a high level, I'm sure if I looked at 100 Kha'Zix mains in Challenger Plus, like 100 out of 100 of them are evolving the same ability first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. I think Kane is probably the closest they're ever going to get to having this work where, like, oh, you build red if you're against like a bunch of melees and tanks, and you build blue if you're against a bunch of squishies.
And maybe that's a good thing. Like, to give Riot some credit, maybe that is a really good way to keep characters balanced, right? Is to, like, hey, everyone has to max Q first, and that's just, like, that's just the way that the character is going to have to play, so we can keep him, like, balanced or whatever.
We are giving Riot credit for that in the post where they're trying to make that not the case for a character.
But, I mean, I think we're talking in, like, the vast majority of League. Like,
yeah.
So Seraphine is definitely, this is definitely an exception.
I think that if they could, though, Nick, they would make it so every character could go anything.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then...
No, I just don't think it's viable, yeah.
I don't think it's viable. I don't think it's good for the game as a whole, right? Because it overcomplicates something where there's enough difficulty in the game already. And again, people already aren't doing this appropriately. But, right, like, imagine a world where every character, like, the level-ups of abilities were, like, pretty flexible. Then what's going to happen, right? The next step there is that somebody who actually one tricks the character has a spreadsheet for all matchups. And they say, if I'm Tahm Kench against an Illaoi and an AD jungler, I put 2 points into Q, 1 into E, then 2 into W, then 1 more into E, then the last 3 into Q. Then, right? Like, and you have like this weird flowchart that's like what's optimal in 300 plus situations, depending on like who you're playing against and like, if you want to add like a layer for jungle matchup or whatever. And it's like, the game is hard enough without that. I should be able to see a character and just like, right, 90% of characters in League, it's just max Q, right? Which is like easy to pick up. It makes the game easier to learn and easier to play. And I think that that's a good thing. It's just, you know, hey, most characters, you max your Q. That's your ability. That's how it works.
Move over for our AI brethren, Colton, who are going to tell us that 2 points E, 4 points Q max Tahm Kench is the way to go into
this
matchup.
Yes, we're waiting for that.
We're waiting for that, and then the Reddit post for like, guys, check out this sick new build, and it's just like a flowchart of Q, W, E, Q, E, E, W, Q, Q, Q.
Yeah.
Yes. Cool. Sivir, base armor is increased. 30 armor for an AD carry is that's a lot, I feel like.
You still can't kill Illaoi, though.
Yes.
I don't get that cool joke, but...
The post on Reddit. Go check it out after. It makes me so mad actually thinking about it. Oh, my God. Dude,
It's just like an AD carry, like, playing decently well, but making some mistakes and then complaining. I don't know if it was, like, serious complaining or not.
I mean, the person who made the post isn't like
I couldn't tell if the person like, making the post as a joke.
Yeah, it like fuck it, we'll get into it really quick. It's funny enough. There's a top post on Reddit right now. It's like the state of AD carry, and it's a Sivir getting like a 1v4 triple kill, Colton. And then dying to an Illaoi. Like Illaoi kills her. Like
yeah, I'm watching it right now. Fucking,
and it's like, dude, it's just the AD carry like propaganda machine is fucking working in full force, man. Like, first of all, what a crazy time to cope about your role when in a clip where you get a fucking 1v4 triple kill. And then like second of all, like you just the issue with AD carry is it's really really fucking hard. Like if that role is played perfectly, there Illaoi can never kill Sivir. Never. Yeah. It is impossible for. That's why fucking people script and play AD carry, because played perfectly, it is a fucking insane role. And like, there's comments in the there's things in the comments like, it's gross how like Illaoi's like W is practically the same range as Sivir's auto attacks. Sivir's auto attacks are 500 plus she has fucking lethal tempo the entire time. Illaoi's W is 400 range, which means at minimum she has a lethal tempo the entire fight. There, by the way, you have 100 range to play with, and just like AD carry is being like, oh, like it's too small of a range to play with. is the reason why people fucking are shit at the role. Like, 100 range is what you need to abuse. That's why Caitlyn is one of the fucking hardest AD carries in the game to play, because you're playing that 100 range, and, like, you have to use that as your one strength.
Yeah.
Dude, it makes you so mad.
I mean, watching it, I think, especially in that clip, it makes it, like, it looks like the Alawi W range is crazy, right? And it's like, part of that is because the Sivir has like 700 movement speed. So when she, like, the W starts the cast versus where she ends up. But I mean, like, yes, like, the Sivir eats an E, she gets hit by like three tentacles. And again,
so she doesn't actually get hit by the E. I think she spell shields both. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, like,
so gets hit by Qs though.
She still gets hit by it, even if she, like, spell shields it, right? Because, like, if she dodged the E, she could have spell shielded one of the tentacles.
Yeah, for sure.
Is like an
and also, the Alawi has a fully stacked chains on her and a fucking frozen heart.
A fully stacked chains, a frozen heart. I think she procced the Sterix. She's also six tank items with no boots, it looks like.
Yeah, she sold boots for fucking chains.
Right, so, like, you have, like, a 200, or was it 150 or 200 range bubble?
100 range plus whatever lethal tempo is.
So I think that would be 150.
Yeah, it's 150.
You have a 150 range buffer plus a 300 movement speed buffer.
Mm-hmm. Like, dude, it's just like, it's crazy to me that people are like, ah, oh, it's fucking insane that Alawi kills her there. It's like, no, it's insane to me that Sivir kills four people, then almost, or kills three people, then almost kills the Alawi when playing like that. Like,
yeah, what's really funny to me in this is, like, again, there's a lot that could have been done differently, but, like, maybe, like, halfway through the clip when they're both at half health. And again, the Sivir has, 400 more movement speed than the Alawi at this point. You know what the Sivir could do?
Go push wave, go
she
do anything.
She could walk to Raptors, clear the camp, full heal, and then run back at the Alawi for round two from full health.
Or just kite out the W? Like, wait for the W to expire?
Yeah. I don't even mind the post. I just, like, hate that the general sentiment of the comments is, like, fuck, man, AD carry's, like, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck me, dude.
Unplayable.
This is why AD carry. The AD carry players, that's why people dislike you, man. It's so
and
gross.
It sucks. It sucks because, like, I do understand that is a frustrating situation to be in where, like, you only made a couple mistakes and you got punished for it, right? But that, like, that is the role. Like, if you don't want to be punished so severely for such small mistakes, then, like, you have to play something else.
I mean, your highs just can't be that high then. Like, your high can't be, if you play this properly, Alawi can never win it because she can never touch you because she doesn't have a single ability. Like
her
that,
one
that
ability,
your...
you can spell shield. Yeah.
Yeah,
and like
that can't be the high.
And it was, like, particularly, I think, in this situation, it was, like, the things that make Sivir's weaknesses, right? It's, like, she doesn't have the best tank killing, right? Because, like, none of her...
Yeah.
Kit has armor pen or shred or max health damage, and she's pretty low range for an AD carry, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, what happened? You were hitting a tank with 400 armor and fucking fully stacked anathemas, so it was going to take you 25 auto attacks, and hey, you didn't, you know, you had a range advantage, but you didn't really use it, right? Like, if that same situation is, you know, Caitlyn, they probably do fine, right? Because they have like a 400 range window to work with. But
yeah,
I don't know.
The only thing I'll give her is I think the only thing I'll give AD carries, not to make this into an AD carry podcast again, but like I do think the tank, a couple of the tank items are just too cheap and too effective. Like Tabby's
Frozen Heart is way too strong.
Yeah, it's way too strong, way too cheap. Tabby's are probably way too strong, probably too cheap, honestly. Randuin's is probably way too strong, way too cheap. Like, the tank items with, like, effects, you know what I mean, are, like, actually insane.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, man, fucking just play your role better, and you can't lose. Like, people script for a reason on that role, man.
Yeah.
People don't script fucking Alawi.
No. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, Smolder, Q damage adjusted, E bolt quantity adjusted, R damage decreased, sweet spot damage increased, self heal increased. So I don't know if this is supposed to be... Okay, they're happy with the spot he's in. So just trying to shift some of the power towards parts of the kit that they think are more healthy, which is fair. Cool. I still think the, I mean, the only part that we all hate is the execute, right? That's the only part that we think is unfair.
It's very strange. Like I was also thinking about this. Like, there's scaling characters in the game, Nick. There's a lot of them actually. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a problem with the characters who have breakpoints. And maybe not like a problem is like probably too strong of a term, but like the characters that I find way more healthy are the characters that scale more linearly. Like Aurelion Sol stacks, Nasus stacks, Veigar stacks. The ones I have more problems with are like the Kales of the world, right? Where when you hit 16, your power bonus from being 15 to 16 is insane, or Smolder from hitting 225 stacks. It's crazy, like the difference in like your strength. It feels like, I understand the late game fantasy of these characters, but it feels like they need to be flattened a little bit, because like, oh my god, the difference between like one less stack there is like game changing.
Yeah, it does. It does really suck. I mean, we saw several games over the weekend for LCS, where Smolder was able to get up to like 600 stacks, right? Like something, or not 600, but like 450, like, yeah, something absolutely insane. And at that point, like, okay, well, what do you do? Because it almost doesn't matter how the rest of the game played out. Which, to be fair, is like, okay, play better for the rest of the game. But at the same time, like, it's definitely frustrating.
Also, just like I want to defend AD carries for one more second.
That's weird.
There's a podcast with it's like the NA Pros podcast that they do, which is actually pretty good content for the most part. They get like three pros down for like a round table and ask them questions, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. This week there was one question about the strength of AD carries, and it was kind of a circle jerk of like AD carries shit and whatever, which for me it's hard to believe because you see AD carries in fucking every single role in pro play. But yeah. The one thing I'll give them is like, I think it was Inspired. He brought up the fact that like, there's a reason why Tahm Kench Senna is like so fucking good, right? Like, it's because like tanks, if a tank gets as much farm as an AD carry, like in a perfect world, that AD carry should just be able to shred them, and that should not be like, Tahm Kench shouldn't actually be a viable bottom lane to farm the entire game, right? Like that seems like it's a bad balance. But the fact that a Tahm Kench can just farm the entire game and then the AD carry is not a threat to the, like, obviously becomes a threat, but like isn't as much of a threat as you think they should be, is probably problematic, which tells me like items are strong. That being said, once again, the circle jerk's fucking gross, and like all the comments on that post are like, it's crazy that even in pro play, AD carry is weak. Dude, fucking Vayne top is being played. Fucking, there's AD carries played mid every single game, dude. Like, I think there's like, it's very easy for people to go off the deep end, it feels like. Like, I'm fine with admitting that tank items are probably too strong, which probably makes AD carries weaker than they should be, right? But like, fuck, man, acting like AD carries are bad in pro play. Holy fuck, man.
Yeah, it is funny. And maybe when they say AD carry, they primarily are, you know, speaking on like bot lane marksman specifically. Because I'm in the same boat as you. Like, it is hard for me to reconcile those things when, you know, we'll see like Lucian, Tristana, and now we see like Vayne top and things like that.
What makes AD carry so weak in like bottom lane? Like, is it only the XP? Like, that feels like it. Like, XP probably does give too many stats, right? Like, levels. They give, like, 600 gold of stat. Obviously, it's variable for characters. But, like, is that actually the only thing that makes AD carries, like, weak?
I mean, I think it's sort of a combination of that plus supports being as strong as they are right now. Where if you're in, like, mid or top lane, you don't have to worry about the threat of, you know, a Maokai Hex Flash W-ing on you when you... Like, your only mobility spell is Flash, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I think that is... something that has sort of become an issue since enchanters have been a little weaker. Like, you just don't have that peel that you normally would have or normally rely on. But it is weird. It is really strange.
Yeah, it just feels like there's like I think there's something there, but it feels like the something there is lesser than what's being talked about, I guess.
Yeah.
But I guess that's like how every discussion works online. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways, TF attack speed and damages decrease.
So that's crazy.
Minor nerfs, 10% less attack speed. And ooh. Oh wait, no, the AD ratio is significantly decreased on the cards for E.
Oh wow, 50% bonus AD is gone. That is nice.
AD TF was an issue, guys.
Wow, that's crazy.
It is, but I don't even know if this makes that much of a difference. Cause like,
I mean, that is a lot of damage that you're losing.
Yeah. It's like 100 per proc, maybe, which I guess, yeah, like 100 is a lot of damage, but right, like he's going like energized on hit stuff. We'll see. I think this is a nice nudge in the right direction, and it might take a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Vayne, passive bonus movement speed decreased by 15. And tumble queue duration is increased early.
Woo.
Okay, cool. Vygar, queue damage increased. R cooldown decreased. Sweet.
Cool. Vex passive damage increased. E passive interactions adjusted. Oh, killing units with Looming Darkness now grants Doom and Gloom's passive refund. Huh, that's pretty
interesting. Cool. Yeah, that seems nice.
Yeah, so that, if I don't know if you guys have played a lot of Vex, but E, right, like applies the mark, and then hitting them with anything else consumes it. So this is also just, if you kill them with the E, it counts as consuming it, which is really nice quality of life. Mm.
Cool.
That is nice.
As well as, like, if you ever, like, fuck up and Q then E the wave, you're maybe going to still be fine if your E kill stuff.
Dude, this next change makes me want to die.
Bukong, I think it's crazy. The monkey man. Yeah, it seems nuts. Passive maximum stacks decreased. Percent amplification per stack increased. Fall off rate adjusted. So you get the same stats, but you get them faster because you get them with 5 stacks now instead of 10. And rather than all of them falling off when you're out of combat, they will slowly tick off.
Obviously, this is like less of a change as the later the game goes on, dude, but this early game for top lane is fucking crazy to me. Like, I'm not sure if you guys ever looked at Wukong's, like, passive.
It's pretty nuts.
Level 1, if you're fully stacked,
Before you tell us, can we both guess?
Yeah, if you don't know it. Yeah.
I mean, I don't. I mean, I know it's nuts. I don't know what it is, like, the numbers.
I think I'm trying to remember. I think it gives, like, armor and health regen.
HP regen. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna guess,
I don't know the health regen. I only know the armor off the top of my head.
I'm going to guess it gives over 40 armor at level 1.
It's 30, but still. Like, so, like, 30 is, like, very normal for a 10-stack thing because you have to auto-queue auto 9 times or, like, 8 times with 2 queues or whatever to get it. Now you can go auto-queue auto, just literally just auto-queue auto, and you get 15 armor.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot, level, like, 1.
That's crazy. Like, his instant combo gives him 15 armor now.
And yeah, right, like, it gives it the 15 armor, and, like, auto queue auto is pretty hard to trade against. If he went Conqueror, that's 6 Conqueror stacks. So, like, if you extended fight, he autos you 2 more times, Conqueror's proc, and his next Q is, like, big, it heals him, and you're trying to duel somebody with 30 armor. And if you just, like, do a short trade and run away, like, auto queue auto is a pretty good short trade.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And remember, like, 2 patches ago, they increased Wukong's Q range early, so I don't know, but it's just like once again, like, I don't think, like, it being 30 before was, like, a bad thing. I think that's actually fair. If you take a long trade versus Wukong, you get strong. That's, like, a normal passive. Just, it feels very easy to always, like, trade with, like, half of your passive up now. Mm-hmm. So if you're playing an AD character, go fuck yourself.
And if you're playing Wukong, check out this new sick build I'm about to post in Wukong mains, where you go Terminus so that you auto 3 times and have 50 armor.
Ooh, smart.
I'm so good at making builds. Terminus Wukong is going to take over. Lethal Tempo Terminus Wukong, Aiden. You're going to see it in Challenger. There's going to be a Lol Dobby video about it. Just you wait.
Just you wait.
I still don't know the item icons, by the way. Like, Drew messaged me. He's like, hey, man, can you take a look at some of my, like, games I played on this account? I think I played pretty well, but, like, could you tell me, like, anything, any thoughts? I'm like, of course. And I'm like, why do you build Hexplate on Wukong? And he built Profane Hydra. And just the items in my head are the exact same thing.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
Up next, anyways. Yorick, E bonus damage to cursed enemies decreased. I don't know what a cursed enemy is. I think that's the
debuff. When you hit the E, it's the mark.
Ow.
But so if you E somebody, you E'd? Or no, that's just what it applies. Okay, never mind. The E applies the curse. I thought what it was saying that the bonus damage against cursed enemies. But it's
unless it's the maiden, but I don't know.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. R, maiden, armor, and magic resist increased. They made it tankier. Okay. No longer reduces AoE damage by half. That's nice. Did you guys see the thing where Yorick can now just solo Baron at 20 minutes every game?
Yeah.
His ghouls do, like, if they're hitting the same thing the Maiden is, they do, like, 1% max health on no cooldown.
Oh.
So just all of them proc it a bunch of times, and he just melts the Baron.
I see. That's cool.
Yeah. I think it's healthy. I'm glad they're not removing that.
Yeah, I agree. Big, cool. Big fan.
Next is Zachary. His W damage is being decreased. Zachary's been my favorite thing to play recently. I think that character is turbo overloaded. I think this... it's hard to say if this is enough. Like, I know it doesn't look like a lot. Like, it's 5 off, like, rank 1, and then...
no, rank 1 does 5 more, so actually...
Oh.
Actually, your Zac clear is going to be 0.72 seconds faster now.
You might be able to get a 330. But... So I guess, yeah, 5-5-1 is nice. You lose 15. Like, that's not bad at all. Like, it's, you use it a lot, though, is, like, the main thing I was trying to bring up is, like, it's a very, it's ability you might use, like, 12 times in a fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you use it a bunch.
Or, like, 2 to 3 times in a short trade.
Yeah. Like, you use it a lot, so that's interesting. We'll see how this goes. I like that character a lot, though.
Yep.
Overloaded, though.
Looks like some changes to support items. Celestial Opposition, which is like the crown passive, the cooldown is decreased, the slow duration is increased, and the slow strength is increased. I feel like this was just never the option with how good Solstice Slay was, so they're buffing this. It looks like they're also nerfing Slay. Dreammaker, the shield damage reduction is being changed from a flat amount to scaling, starting at 6 and going up to level 18, where it becomes stronger, I think, at like 11 is where it hits that breakpoint, roughly. My math might be wrong. So doing some adjustments. It's weird to me that they didn't put all three of the support item changes together.
Yeah, it is weird.
Solstice Slay cooldown increased by 10 seconds. The bonus health that for the heal proc, rather than being 7% of max health, is now going to be just a flat value, which scales based on your level. And the movement speed proc is being decreased.
Cool.
Frozen Heart's getting nerfed. Yeah. Heartsteel's getting kind of nerf buff to the proc from the bonus health is getting buffed, but the base damage is getting nerfed, so probably a buff overall, I would assume. I'm assuming the breakpoint's pretty quick because 2% bonus health is kind of nice. And then another support item, the Solstice Slay, is getting changes.
He just talked about that.
Yeah, oh, sorry, I scrolled past the other ones so that we could talk about all three support items together.
Yeah,
cool. Shojin is spells only grant 1 stack per cast up to 1 second. For spells that deal damage over time. Oh, so like what fucking AD character? Oh, I guess just what's his dick? Fireboy Smolder. Does he have DOT?
Smolder.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Then who the fuck builds Shojin that has DOT?
Hmm. I don't know. Maybe are there characters who have 2-part abilities? Maybe.
Hmm.
Maybe. Like Q1, Q2, like Camille, for instance, would that?
I could see this being like, I think an easy example would be, let's say, Talon W, where maybe there's a world where it used to do 2 stacks.
Oh, Talon. Wait, no, that's not an ability. That's just a bleed.
This is passive.
I don't know.
Yeah, like, I see what Colton means, though. Like, imagine if Talon's bleed, like, proc'd it fucking 7 times really quick. Like,
yeah.
That would be an issue. But yeah, that's weird. I guess there was abuse case. Sunfire is getting buffs, which is great. I love this because, as I mentioned like a couple months ago, this was an item that you should never fully complete because you just sit on bombies. But now they're making actual Sunfire like a worthwhile item. They're also on PBE right now nerfing bombies. So it's going to be even like worse to sit on. So I like that. I like when
that's probably good.
People mathing out stuff is fun, but like it's probably not good for the game when you can like math out like the best 5 components just to sit on.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm surprised they haven't nerfed Haunting Eyes like itself. But anyways, we'll talk about that another day.
I almost wonder if they don't have like, I don't know. I don't know if it's that good. If I'm being honest,
I think having a couple is good. I think like you can easily go like your main like Haunting Eyes item, then build like a couple to sit on.
I guess.
But I don't think you should buy six. Like, I think that's obviously trolling, but.
Yeah. I don't know. Cool. AP Assassin items. Is that what you wanted to talk about? Lichbane, the AP ratio is going down. Storm Surge, the move speed is going up. Rocket Belt, the cost is going up. The AP is going up as well. Interesting.
Cool.
Lots of AR imbalance changes, bug fixes, a couple new skins. Cool.
The Jax skin is really cool, by the way.
I didn't realize that was Jax. Yeah, that is a cool Jax skin. Bunch of project skins.
Oh, dude. Awesome. Nobody tell Trevor, but they fixed the Diana triple Q.
Oh, really?
Or triple Q. He calls it the triple Q, even though it's the fact that you can like E three times.
It's triple E, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
But there is a way you could triple dash with E. But I guess they called it a bug, not intended, and now have fixed it.
That's a pretty fucking big nerf for high ELO Diana. Like, obviously, like, the reality is, I'm sure there's very few sub D4 Diana players that know how to do that.
Also, just like, not a popular character, like, at all.
Yeah, but, like, she is already struggling, so I'm sure if, like, you're someone like Quantum who, like, tries to main her at, like, Master Plus, Grandmaster Plus, that's probably rough.
Yeah.
And it's one that you're not gonna know about because it's hidden here. And so you're going to probably play 100 games before you realize
like,
that,
I'm fucking up.
That you're that not, does just, kinda suck, that you're not just executing wrong.
Like missing it up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Cool.
This is my new favorite thing, is scrolling through bug fix to look for actual balance changes that they hid in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Let's move on because we're already an hour in. How about that?
We've been having fun. We had like 7 different like tangents on that. That was great.
We're back in the old days where we patch notes for an hour every show. I love it.
We can tie these together. I think like they actually are really related.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to start with Freak. Freak hit Grandmaster today, guys. Congrats. That's big. That's pretty cool news, right?
Yeah.
No, it's not, you guys.
Idiots.
Because he's abusing his power to win on Maokai. He's the only one allowed to pick that character, and he keeps it strong because he abuses it. No, but like, I mean, the general sentiment online is that Riot Freak is a not a general. There's a lot of sentiment on League Twitter and a lot of negativity on League Reddit about Freak hitting Grandmaster and abusing characters like Maokai, and he
keeping them strong because he gets to use them.
Yeah, which is insanity to me, first of all. And then second of all, it's just like people actually think like there are some people, some crazy people, who think that it is an abuse of his power and role to play these characters and use them like this.
Yeah.
Which is insanity to me.
we all agree, I think. It is really weird. I definitely don't think it's an abuse of power. I definitely don't think it's like conflict of interest or whatever. I can understand why people would feel that way. I just don't think it's like, I don't think it's correct.
There's
right.
It's a weird thing where like, yeah, like I can see why people would say that, but it's like such a minor thing. And it's also just like a clearly assumed part of the job, right? Where it's like, you don't call a salesman wanting to sell you something, you don't say it's like a conflict of interest because he just wants to sell me this to make money. Why? Because it's just assumed, right?
Yeah.
That like, yeah, like that's gonna be part of the bias, and like everybody on the balance team is going to have some bias. And I think realistically, like mains of a character are probably the worst people to go to when it comes to balancing that character.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Right? Because they know like the depths of the bad things, and they know the highs of the highs, and they like don't have, I think, as good outside perspective on the character, right? Where it's like, I don't think Freak is like leading some brigade saying like don't nerf Maokai, but I think he personally probably sees Maokai as very well balanced. Why? Because he's playing a lot of it and he loses a lot of games, and he knows what it feels like to be behind. And he's like, the games I won, I played well. And like, it makes sense to me that I won those games. Like, the character seems fine.
Or better yet, if he's not, he
thinks it's strong, and he's one person on a team of
exactly
10 plus, you know what I mean? And he doesn't get to make all the decisions, like, fucking, he's the king of the balanced team.
Yeah, I also think, just generally, like, you know, not nerfing a character, I think also is very different from, like, buffing a character because you like them. And it's really weird that people are, like, doing this personal crusade against him again. Mm-hmm. I feel like anytime there's any balance change or lack of balance change, it's like, now suddenly always Freak's fault because now they have a figurehead to point at on the balance team as opposed to just flaming the balance team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gross is like the way we can put it.
Yeah, it's gross. And it's like, it's not like this is somebody who is a bad player, right? Like, he's been high diamond, low master since the game was made.
Yeah.
Right. Like, he has been a good high elo, like, top 1% player since day one of League of Legends, or like month one, maybe. I don't know if he played it on the first day that beta went live. Right. But like, season one, the first ranked split, I think he was diamond and like has been there ever since. He's been either D1 or master for a bit. Like, it's not like he suddenly went from silver to fucking GM.
I don't know. It's just gross, man. People just love to hate is like the reality.
Yes.
Like the main complaints before, which you can always argue is like from different people. I think a lot of people who do make these complaints will just complain about anything though, was that he's not high enough elo. Cause like the last couple of seasons he's been like D3, D2 sort of like range. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy because now he's fucking GM, which I would argue is a pretty high elo. Some people will. I've seen comments online that saying it's still not high enough elo to balance.
Anyone could do that.
I don't know. It's just like it feels like there just always will be complaints. People will always find something to like bitch and moan about. And Freak has made himself a public enemy number one.
Yes.
Sometimes from his own doing, I'll like to give him full credit. mostly not though. I would say he's definitely poked the bear a couple times. But I guess this kind of leads into our next discussion of like the main other thing that we were seeing online is that it's gross how he's been hard stock diamond for years and
as
now he switches
AD
to
carry player. Mm-hmm.
As an AD carry player, and now he switched to support and he went up 500, 600 points. How fucking inflated is a support? And we want to have a little discussion about this.
And just
guess what? I think
just like
we don't
Maokai,
think it's that inflated.
He's the only one who's allowed to play support.
Yes.
Exactly. It is something
you know,
unfortunate.
That's the like boilerplate easy argument against any of these fucking complaints. Every time someone says character is OP, role is OP, like build is OP, whatever it is, it's like, well, you're allowed to play that too.
Yep.
No.
There's 280 carries on every team, there's 2 supports on every team. Well, sorry. There's typically between 3 to 4 80 carries on every team because the role is weak and we pick weak characters.
I think
so
there's like a discussion of have you had here because I think the general sentiment online, and I'm sure we said it at some point as well, so that support is maybe not I don't think we've said support's inflated, but support's easy. Support is the easy role in the game, which I wanted to like have less of a surface level discussion of like, is it easy? Is it not? And more like, if it is easy, what are things that make it easy compared to the other roles? And what are things that differentiate it or potentially could make it harder than the other roles? Because I think Nick and I had a good discussion on, I was going to say on Reddit. Yeah, we were fucking Redditing at each other today.
That'd be so cringe.
We were saying maybe for like the majority of player base, it's hard to carry on support, but at high elo, I think a lot of people view support as a very impactful role, right? So I think the discussion also varies in that way as well, because like at lower elo, it's an inflated role that is also easy and can't carry. Whereas at high elo, a lot of people say it's an inflated role that has a lot of agency and can carry. So like, I don't know how both those can be the same at the same time, or honestly, even in their own context can be like even true at times. Like it seems confusing to me.
It's weird. Yeah. I like some bullet points, things I think are true. I think support has a lot of agency and a lot of influence over the game. Like without doing a full tier list, I think they are in the top three, right? Rather than the bottom three, in terms of influence over the game. I think.
Well, if they're top three, they could be bottom three.
That's true. They could be.
That's really funny.
Top three when there's only five is an interesting way to view that.
It's.
But I understand what you're saying. I understand.
Right, where like they are not bottom two, even though again I think all of those are probably within like 1% of each other.
Dude, when we did that fucking thing and people said like shit like 80 carry is 5% of agency 5%, in the game.
Yeah.
That's funny, dude. I think, you know, and you guys had mentioned this, I think, in the Discord conversation, you know, there is a pretty high floor for a lot of support characters, right? Like the go-to is like
pretty low floor
enchanters.
Yeah. Low floor.
That, no, I was trying to say high floor in terms of like even the worst Soraka is pretty impactful. So like even if you're executing very low, you're going to have a good positive impact. I don't know if that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Right. I understand what you're saying.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like the worst Qiyana has really right, like a very low floor and a very high ceiling versus like Soraka has a pretty low floor and the ceiling isn't so high. Right. Cause even the worst Soraka can still be pretty beneficial to the team. And there certainly are games and situations where that support player can do nothing and still win. Newsflash, mm-hmm. that exists in every role. On every character that can happen.
Just play tank tops.
Yeah.
I've won my series to master going fucking like 0-10. Yeah.
But you know, right. Like people can see that. I think it's, there's like a lot that supports can do. And I think a lot that's just like not seen. Mm-hmm. Right. Like I think support generally matters more in the context of like who wins the bot lane if things are relatively close. Like you guys were having the conversation of like Challenger AD carry plus bronze support versus Challenger support plus bronze AD carry, or I think you used like Carry at Gumayushi as examples.
Yeah.
And I think in that situation, like better AD carry wins that game, right? Like pretty much every time. But if we're within like a 300 window, like a 300 LP bubble, let's say,
yeah,
and it's like I have a support who for, you know, okay, I have a 0 points master 80 carry and a 300 point support versus a 300 points 80 carry and a 0 point support. I think the 300 point support generally is going to make that lane more winning, because I think they have a lot more going on, whereas like both 80 carries can just sort of farm, but if the, like one support is really gapping the other, like then you get those situations where like you're zoned off of waves, or because the vision control was so one-sided, like you can pull off a really good dive or get dragons or whatever the case might be.
If we want to like break this down into like points, Colton, just trying to like summarize what you're saying, is like it sounds like the I'm gonna say easy parts of support is generally their champion pool are less mechanically difficult characters. I think that's a single point. They don't have to farm. That's another like point that makes them an easier role, right? They have just guaranteed income, which once again you get punished for your mistakes less, right? Like so you're like floor of what you can do is higher than what other roles are, just because you have like access to like just gold income and your damage matters less and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the things that make it harder, which you were saying, are guess what? You control the vision for your team, right? Like vision is a very important part of the game. Being able to set up vision for your team, to set up for objectives, you control a lot of like the macro aspects of the game. Maybe not in the front of power, but in the front of like actual vision and like strategic setup. Maybe we don't see that as much in lower ELO, which I can completely sympathize with for like our lower ELO community. That being said, well, like looking at it from like a top-down perspective, like having your support walk up for Herald or I guess now Void Grubs at the right time and set up vision for it before it happens, holy fuck, that makes a world of the difference. Could you imagine playing League of Legends with full vision? Like
Vision, no fog of war.
Like, dude, that would be a fun custom game for us. Well, playing against like 1,000 ELO lower players, but they have vision of you the entire time. That'd be kind of sick. But like you have those parts of the game that I think are like undervalued for how strong they are.
Yeah, and I think also to get to like the point of agency, right? Like the support has almost as much say on whether or not we get grubs as the jungler does.
Yeah.
Right. Especially, you know, from my perspective as like a low masters, high diamond player, right? Where it's like, I have to make that choice in a lot of games. Like, do I leave lane and give up whatever like tempo or pressure, or potentially if we're losing, like, I'm just sacrificing my AD carry, he's going to get dove
yeah.
to get these, right? Like, that is entirely my decision whether or not we get these grubs. And, like, people want to pretend like that's, there's no fucking agency or, like, you don't have a say in it. And it's like, okay, maybe I do value keeping my AD carry ahead, right? Like, maybe I have a 4-0 Draven and I don't want to risk him dying. Or maybe I have a 0-0 Draven with a fucking, like, 500 stacks. Mm-hmm. And I say, like, there's no way I'm leaving him. He might get dove. And, like, cool, we get three grubs. But if he loses all those stacks, like, game over. I don't know. It's weird. I think the freak example in particular is a really odd one. Because I think it makes a lot of sense that his rank would go up when he switches to support.
Like, especially as an AD carry main traditionally.
Yeah, as an AD carry main traditionally, right? Like, so he's got, right, 13 years of bot lane experience, right? Like, he knows bot lane very in depth. And, right, like, you can make whatever argument about, like, he's older, so his mechanics are worse or his reaction time is worse now. Like, maybe they're his hands have gotten worse. But, like, he knows so much about the game, and now he doesn't have to focus about as much of, like, the hands of AD carry, the mechanics. And it's like, yeah, so now that 13 years of experience has a lot more room for him to do other stuff and make good macro calls and, like, influence the game that way and lead the AD carries who are, you know, more mechanically gifted to winning lane, winning game.
Yeah, for sure. Nick, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, as someone who's played support for a very long time, like, I definitely think that support is very strong right now. I'd put it in the top one if we're ranking it in terms of, like, role strength currently.
I'd put it in the top five.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That being said, like, I think a lot of people who don't play support just look at it as this, like, IQ support and I win the game 100% of the time because that's how easy the role is, where in reality, there's a lot of, like, weaknesses that go along with the role. I think a good support can only carry, like, players that are as bad as they can be for so long, right? Like, if you're a, you know, top one support, you're not going to be able to have 100% win rate in iron or bronze the way that another role like Smurf would be, right? Like, I just think the capability there is diminished. Yeah. But I do think it's a strong role. I don't know. I think it's crazy to say, like, it, like, hyper inflates, but I guess I understand why people would think that.
I mean, like, I feel like it's just more every role has, like, things that inflate though, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, if you want to inflate your top lane, like,
you play tanks, yeah.
Just play Sion. Like, I mean, okay.
It's just playing lower risk things, right? Like, yes. Lower risk, like, not even lower risk, like, lower, like, barrier of execution things, right? It's the same thing as playing, like, control mages mid.
Yeah, like Malzahar, playing, right? Like,
yeah, like, yeah. playing mages bottom even, right? Like, you're playing, like, characters with, like, lower burden of execution, meaning your own mistakes are going to affect the game in a less detrimental way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're playing, like, risk adverse as opposed to taking on some risk for higher reward.
And I just to give the, like, counterpoint to, like, the people, like, who maybe do think support's a little inflated, support definitely has the most of those measures in the game, right? Like we mentioned, they don't have to farm, they have automatic gold, they don't the most team comps are developed in a way where they don't have to contribute to damage, right? Like, those are all things that, like, kind of make it so, like, playing those styles affects your team less. That being said, it's just like every role has that, man. It's just like, it's just a part of the game. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's so weird to me.
Another one for supports in particular, and again, I think it can be true in other roles, but it's like supports also have, I think, generally more of the characters that can get absolutely bodied in lane and still be very useful in the game, right? Like, yeah. I think support is number one for that. Top is number two, right? You think of the, like, Blitzcrank, right? Is the prime Maokai. Example.
Yeah.
I can be 0-20 on Blitzcrank and I can win the game with a single hook. And it can be the only hook I hit all game, right? Like, that is just a true statement.
Whereas, like, you can't hit only one Nidalee Spear all game.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I was just going to say, like, yeah, obviously the two most punishing roles in, like, getting behind are, like, jungle, then followed after that is AD carry, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at statistically through League of Graphs, they have, like, a thing where it's, like, if you're 0-2 at 10, like, down 2 kills at 10 minutes or down 4 kills at 20 minutes, they show you win rates. Every single one is a jungler. Because if you're fucking down 4 kills at 20 minutes as a jungler, dude, you're just fucked. Like, they have, like, every objective in the game. Mm-hmm. Like, also,
not only that, but I mean, there's a lot of other factors that go into it as well. Like, you can't farm your junglers effectively, your ganks are worse.
Yeah. One more point, which I think is fine saying, because I think we have, like, a receptive enough community, and I don't think it will get out anywhere. I also think that there is some level of it's the role that women play, so we naturally
we hate that.
I think there is a lot of inherent sexism in things.
Yeah, for sure.
Whether or not, like, you do it, like, I'm not trying to call out specific individuals, but, like, I do think there is something a little bit of, like, I mean, it's definitely the only role that fucking gets, like, negative women comments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean,
just play fucking Enchanter, that, you fucking whatever, right?
Yeah, like, we see that with Seraphine, Yuumi.
Yeah,
Janna,
I guess, like,
yeah, any Enchanter.
And once again, maybe I don't think it contributes a lot to it, but I think it contributes a little bit. I think. Mm-hmm. There's lots of men with fragile egos, holy shit, and they see a role in which maybe women play more often and can do better, and they think that they don't deserve those ranks, and they want to naturally shit on it.
Yes.
Yeah,
I don't think it contributes a lot, but I think it's worth at least bringing up.
I think that there's definitely something there.
That's a good point.
I don't think that that's our community so much, but, like, Reddit community probably more so. League community as a whole probably exists. It would not surprise me at all if I saw
Twitter's nasty.
If I saw a thread about some any female streamer and it's like she could only hit master on support, if she played any real role she'd be plat one.
I mean, we saw that with Freak, right? So it can only be worse.
Yeah.
Once again, don't need to dwell on it, but, like, I just think, like, I think in general none of us think support's inflated. If it is, it's only inflated to the degree that, like, other roles have their own, like, things, right?
Yeah, right. And again, like, even if it is, it's that weird thing where it's just like anytime people want to argue about it, it's like, yeah, you can play it and it's not ever going to be more than like 2%, right? Where it's like, okay, yeah, maybe support is like 50 LP inflated, or maybe let's say 100 LP inflated. That's 4 games. That's nothing. It's completely meaningless. Like, shut up, get better at the game.
There's also always, like, another step to it, right? Like, why is not every single player playing Qiyana, like, to rank 1? Because that's the only character that's, like, that matters for skill. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fucking video game.
Yeah, like, did you guys see that Crown played Malzahar 3 times to win the World Championship? What a noob.
Why are people using summons in my single-player Dark Souls game?
There's the fucking counterpoint too. Like, I always see people, like, complain about, like, characters like Garen and shit like that when, like, they're really strong because, like, they just, like, ruin people. It's like the counterpoint is, like, this character has so many less options though, right?
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of, like, one tricks who struggle on their characters and make them work despite, like, the what the character offers, right? I don't know. I just think, like, people just are upset a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyways, that's kind of a long discussion, but yes, you're not inflated if you play support, especially if you enjoy it. Then you probably need some air.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Oh.
Nick will fill you up.
Ew.
I like how
Can you stop talking?
Dude, what was the fucking, what was the joke I made last night?
Oh, something about a tome, and then you said, I'll put you in a tome.
I was trying to remember that last night. Oh my god, dude, I'm funny, man.
Which is, like, only funny if you can't read.
It's so funny. I'll put you in a tome. Oh fuck, I'm crying again. Oh fuck.
Yeah, I was cracking up thinking about it at work today.
Oh fuck. Cool. We want to talk about Roundtable really quick?
Yeah, we do.
We'll try to get... Cool. Last week's question was, what does your character smell like, right? Yeah. So you got a couple of answers here. I'll pull one of them. Mine's from Abstruse. He says, in Order of Mastery, Warwick smells smells like a wet dog. Karma smells like running water and some kind of earthy spice.
Yuck.
Malzahar smells like ozone, but mostly like nothing. And I missed last week's question, but the lack of Spirit Blossom dating sim from Riot Forge is currently neglected. Yeah, they could have made like a...
That is a good... I mean, we had that a little bit with that one event, right? The Spirit Blossom?
People loved it, too.
Oh, wait. Some people loved it. Can I change my answer?
Yeah.
Nope.
Please, I need to change my answer from last week.
We already sent it to the paper.
He needs to change his answer.
It's so good, Nick. It's so good. Okay.
Sorry, it got printed.
So
you
it's a Metal Gear Solid-style stealth game where your dairy is stealing rats.
That's
pretty good. Cool.
You guys want to grab the other ones, the other two?
Yeah, we've got one from Josh Plank who said, Hui probably smells like a musty emo who never leaves his room.
That's not good.
That's coming from someone who hates Hui. Hui mains are like, he smells like fresh paper and ink.
Ew.
Right?
I don't like seeing the first one, Tristana. Tristana probably smells like a forest and gunpowder. Being a guardian of the Band of Woods and holding a large cannon, she can even smell like a nice roasting firewood sometimes. I also don't want to smell what brand... I don't want to know what brand smells like.
Brand probably smells like coal, right?
Probably.
Cool.
I don't know. That's probably a safe thing to not want to know.
Yeah, maybe just burning humans. It's gross.
What do you think this question smells like?
Piss.
I didn't say that question because I was not here.
Yeah.
I think he smells like roses, dude.
True. Good point.
This week's roundtable question, suggested by Nick, I think.
Yeah.
Which character do you feel like just doesn't fit within League of Legends?
Have to include one, because I kind of wrote this and then couldn't figure out which character.
Yeah, you wrote it very wishy-washy, which I just did an edit because
it
would be... I don't think the response of people would be like, I think all characters are good.
I put if any, but that's not a very funny, like, that's not a good roundtable question. Because it was posted on Reddit and I thought it was a good question. Then I opened the thread and do you guys want to guess what character every single comment was? Oh, it's Yumi. Wow, that's crazy.
She does fit within League though. Like, she's a magical cat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know. It's strange.
I've got two.
Okay.
You got two?
Yeah, I've got two. So my funny answer is Cho'Gath because he's so big. He doesn't fit.
Oh, because he doesn't fit.
Yeah.
That is funny.
That's like a size joke, I guess.
Yeah. My other one would be probably Aphelios. And I don't think he's like actually like bad for the game. But I think like his interface and the way he works, like you see that and you're like, this isn't
League
of Legends.
Yeah, it's not League of Legends.
This is a different game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I got one.
Okay.
I think she's actually like good ability-wise and lore-wise and everything, but I think Seraphine, almost purely because of her model. I think her model really, like the standing stiff
that.
On the whatever board or whatever, really reminds me of, do you remember the old Donkey video where he's playing random MMOs and he plays, I don't know, there's like Adventure Time characters in it. It's like fucking like Nickelodeon fucking MMO or some shit, whatever, like the whoever makes Adventure Time, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, they're just all have super stiff, like weird animations. I'm like, that's where it looks like she should fit. Like, purely because her legs are locked down to a fucking board that she floats on.
It just doesn't feel like it has the polish of other lead characters. Yeah. I don't know if I have one.
Nick, you suggested
this. I did suggest this. I should have thought better about this.
And you read the thread where, like, I usually just steal a comment from the thread whenever I make them.
Yeah, but all of them are Yumi, so they didn't help very much because I think she's fine in the game. I guess like character wise, I guess I'd go ahead and say like maybe like Kayn or Aatrox, like that just feel a little too metal, you know? Like,
yeah.
Ugh. Like children play this game.
Yeah.
But I mean, kit wise, I think like all the characters are fine. I think they work well.
If you want to let us know what character you don't think fits in the game, you can hit us up on our roundtable section.
Don't say Yumi. Discord.
That's discord.gg/leadcast. I think Yumi is the first answer to Discord.
We're not going to read Yumi's because that's cringe and lame. Cool. Sweet. The first email is from Dippy. The thing you need to understand about corporations when it comes to canceling things like Riot Forge is that being profitable is not enough. A product can be good, loved, filled by a life-savingly needed role if it's not a video game, and still be canceled while being profitable if shareholders say it's not profitable enough. Which is such a slippery thing because, like landlords, shareholders are very persuaded by simply thinking up a bigger number. Interesting, yeah. That's a good point.
I feel like it has something to do with them laying off 500 people.
Yeah, that is also a good point.
Yeah. But I do agree with like your overall thoughts.
But yeah, it's a good evaluation.
It's a good generalized point about that. And it's also one where it's just like, I think very dumb. Right, where it's like, this thing is profitable and working, and it's like, doing other thing. I guess maybe there's a question of like, staffing.
Opportunity cost.
Yeah, where it's like, the 10 people who are working on Riot Forge, let's say, that only makes like $1 million a year. We're just going to use easy round numbers. If they worked on Project B, it would make $2 million a year.
Project B is not real. Please say
that's another 2K, project. That's 2XKO. Yeah.
Yes, sorry. Well, what a name. I don't know. Thank you.
Oh, what do you think about that name, by the way, Aiden? Because we talked about it when you weren't here.
I absolutely hate it, and it's crazy that they don't want to pull from the League of Legends brand. They're obviously choosing to not pull from the League of Legends brand. That's a choice they're making.
Yeah.
My only thing is, like, so people who say the Project L is a better name are fucking stupid. That's insanity. Like, the game's so bad that people are believing that, but you no way Project L is a good name.
No, it's a bad one.
No, it's just one that we've become, like, familiar with and associated positively to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That being said, it was originally, so it has had the, like, acronym 2XKO for, like, a long time, apparently. But originally, the workshop name was, Double Knockout KO or something. Double Knockout KO or something like that, I want to say. Double...
You know what KO stands for, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like,
Double KO?
It might have just been Double KO. I had it, like, fucking, like, whenever I wrote that section. Like, let's just say it was Double KO, which I like the idea of, not because I think Double KO is like that great, but like it's fine. And then you abbreviate it to the community would abbreviate it to 2XKO, right? Like fucking Marvel versus Capcom is MVC3, right? Like,
yeah,
like you abbreviate name. It's weird that the company is abbreviating a name already, which feels like strange. Like calling it just 2XKO is my fucking God-given name.
The X I feel like makes it worse, right? Because if it was just Double KO, I think 2KO is much easier to talk about, but like 2XKO is like so long. I was joking, like they could have just called it like Runeterra Rumble, right? And like that's like,
but that's a good name.
People have suggested Lethal Tempo. I even think like those are like whatever, but like I don't know.
Soul Fighter.
They're fine.
2XKO is one of the worst things they could have.
It's one of the worst things, and it's a name that they had 10 years to get right.
Yeah.
Do you think that it worked because we're talking about it?
There's like some of that, right? Like it gets more publicity. That being said, I also think just a League of Legends fighting game would get enough publicity. Yeah. It's definitely like a play to not be tied to League of Legends, right? That's the obvious thing. But I don't know if that's the right call.
I can't wait for them to release 1X MMO.
Yeah.
1X raid.
Cool. Nice. Thank you, Diffy. On to the next email from Clue. Hello, I'm actually a more recent fan, only just recently started listening consistently to the last few months, but wanted to ask you guys a question. Backstory, I've recently been thrown into a coaching role for my college's JV league team, and with ELO ranges from bronze to plat, it's been hard to get people understanding how to not turn off their brains during solo queue or even with a 5-stack. With that, we're focusing on how each team comp you are wanting to play should work, and importantly, how the first 15 minutes of the game should feel. What do you guys think about how each team comp should focus their early game? Team comps we have generalized to are split push, engage, front to back, pick, poke, scaling, or early snowball. Of course, it all depends on matchups, but generalized... Where would you guys try and create fights early? Where would you give in order to play safe, etc.? Have a great day, Clue. couple thoughts on this. I mean, my first question would be, like, as the coach, what is your experience? Because I think that affects this a little bit. You know, yeah. Elo ranges bronze to plat is rough.
It's a huge range.
Especially if that's also the competition. Because, like, if you're trying to play competitive games and, like, you have a bronze versus plat in one lane, like, that's really hard to play around.
Yeah, I also just want, I'm not going to call out, like, Clue's a new patron, by the way. Like you talked about them last week. I know what rank they are, and I won't call it out specifically, but they're on the lower ELO range. So I also would say, like, figure out what you're comfortable with, right? Like, if you actually are going to be a coach, there definitely will be some things about trying to teach a plat player when you're lower ranked than them.
Yeah.
That maybe they might not agree with, or maybe they maybe even have knowledge that maybe you don't have, right? But I would honestly focus on the things that you feel very comfortable with yourself, right? Like, maybe you don't have the experience to run poke comps or something like that, right? So, like, what do you feel comfortable teaching with your knowledge base, right? Like, of course you can go out and, like, learn, you can watch VODs of shit, but, like, personally, starting out, I would start with what you're comfortable with and teaching from there, right? And then as you learn, you can teach new things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I almost think that for lower ELO players like this, it's actually, like, I think it might be a bad idea to focus on, like, different comps and things like that.
Yeah.
Because I think your focus as, like, in this skill range should be to really, really, like, nail down the fundamentals, right? Like, maybe we just focus on, like, when I want to push a wave versus when I want to, like, freeze a wave, and what we should be doing when, like, okay, my top laner has a freeze, I need to know to not gank that lane, like, that sort of thing. I just think there's a lot, like, you should get more fundamental in your analysis versus, like, okay, well, they picked an engage comp, like, we need to draft poke champions and then play to that, because, like, the reality is your players and maybe sort of what Aiden was discussing, like, your the knowledge in that particular league might be a little bit lower than other, like, higher ELO players. So focus on, like, jungle pathing, or when we should, like, dive timers or fight timers, like, I don't know, things like that, I think would be something.
I agree with a lot of those thoughts. I think focus on, like, the fundamentals is a good point. I would say, like, if I suddenly was the coach for a team of, like, ELO ranges bronze to plat, I think, you know, step one is work with all of your players to get them on a process to just get better at the game, because all of them have a lot of room to grow. You know, all of them can get significantly better. And I think in this ELO bracket, and really any ELO bracket, like, up to maybe, like, GM plus is where a lot of those other things start to matter more. Like, you know, I'm gonna shout out Broken by Concept, right? Like, establish a process and get champion mastery. I think get everybody on the team to only play two characters to get a process to improve, you know, however that looks for them. You could do like Broken by Concepts does, where it's like three blocks VOD review every game. You know, you could change that. You could, you know, have some solo queue blocks and then team blocks. Like, that, I think, all is pretty variable. But, like, the fact is you will win games if your players are all winning lane. I don't, like, it doesn't matter the team comp. It doesn't matter their macro knowledge. If you have three winning lanes and a winning jungler, you win every game. Or you win also 90% of your games.
Just from my own experience, I don't think any of us have coached that much. I've coached a little bit, and every single time I've coached ever has always been from the players tell me what they can play.
Yeah.
And when I say what they can play, I mean what they can play, not like, oh, I can kind of play a mean singe top, right? Like, I mean, like, what you actually are comfortable picking. And then I try to tell them what to pick in certain scenarios based on, like, matchups and comps and stuff like that. I obviously have a little bit more knowledge in, like, what works and stuff like that. But at the very least, man, please try to get a understanding of what people can play so you're not putting them on, like, uncomfortable things. That's, like, the number one way to lose games. So.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think, again, jumping back to that champion mastery, I, you know, I don't have much coaching experience, but I have played on a lot of team, like casual teams, and then for a while on the more competitive team. And like our, you know, it was a like mid-masters up to GM cap team. And we, going into draft, had two team comps, right? We would play, like, we had one comp or a different comp depending on what was picked or banned, because we don't want a lot of variance. We want to play things we're comfortable on. We want, like, a pretty reliable, predictable setup. I would say, you know, my two cents for a bronze to plat team, I would probably focus more on just trying to play front to back with like relatively strong lanes. I think going for like early snowball, I think it's really easy to throw an early snowball and like lose that game. I think it's really easy to fuck up a split push comp. I think like poke comps are very difficult to play.
Yep.
I think scaling is tough because like if you just lose four lanes, it doesn't matter if you scale, right? Like, I would play for as like strong lanes as you can and pretty like, again, low variance front to back.
I think ideally you pick two strong lanes and one like scaler,
one weak side, right? Whether William, that's gonna just sit there and take it with a grin,
but just like someone that you want to have like kills and gold and like stuff like that on. I do think you've really, really nailed down, like, we should figure out what our first, like, so-and-so, like, 15 minutes are, right? Like, I think that is a fantastic way to view the game. Like, figure out, like, okay, we always want to dive bot lane level 3. Like, that's just what we're going to, that's just the play we're going to make every single time.
Yeah.
Like, figure out how to do that. Like, keep it really simple. You don't need to get, like, you know, we don't need LS drafts where we're, oh shit, they picked Zed middle, so I'm going to pick so-and-so, and, or, like, I don't know. Yeah. I think just keep it really simple. Pick champions that, you know, your team can play that are strong, and that sort of work well together.
The enemy coach also at this level of play probably isn't watching your drafts and being like, oh, every game they
yeah, exactly.
set for a three dive bottom.
Yeah, and if they do, like, okay, then they've used a ban, a predictable ban, right? Like, when I think a really good thing when we play draft together is that, like, we always know that they're going to ban Tahm Kench, right? Like, yeah. Tahm Kench will get banned. And if they don't, like, okay, great. Like, we have a Tahm Kench, and, like, that's just the, like, we will start making our like comp around that pick. So I think that's pick one or two champions that your team really excels at, and then just sort of like build out from there.
Yeah.
And I definitely don't think going with a bunch of comps is the right answer, like at this elo.
No, I think you look for like two comps that play similarly, and it's just a matter of like, right, like we play Kate Lux if it's available, and if either one of those is banned, then maybe we play like, I don't know, Ezreal Karma, right? Like those are examples, yeah, of like pretty simple, right? Like, and maybe we go to like a third layer, right, where it's like the bot lanes we will play are Caitlyn Lux, Ezreal Karma, or Draven Nautilus, right? And so it's just a very simple function then of, all right, bans went through, can we pick our first priority, yes or no? Can we pick our second priority, yes or no? And then like you go from there. Nailing down the first 15 minutes is huge. I would say even in a lot of cases, just like the first 10 minutes, right? Because like if it's 10 minutes in, and let's just say all of your lanes have plus one kill, plus 10 CS, and you've got the first dragon, like you just win.
Yeah, you're
just win 80% of those games from there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, regardless of anything else, even if none of them know any macro, or like you haven't worked on macro at all, like you just win a lot of those games from there.
Cool. Thank you for the email, Clue. I think let's call it there, and we can get Man Mannington and Casey Stranger's emails next week.
Yeah. Do you want to thank you guys. Do Wall of Support before we wrap things?
Oh, it is time for Wall of Support. Yeah,
it is.
Let's do it.
So thank you to all of our wonderful patrons, including Aaron, Actual Yordle, Adrian, Aiden, Alex, Elise, Angel Holic, Armis, Austin, Blabby Jags, Black Wax, Blooper, Bobasola, Breedable Soraka, Brian, Brosith, Camuril, Chandler, Chaz, Cheese for Real, Chuzix, Clue, Coastal Toast, Colton, Cryo Phoenix, CTURL, Dabular, Danman, Dekar, Decopaw, Diana, Dicarus, Don't Be Creative, Dr. Coconuts, Dr. Herferfer, Dragoon, Drew, Dylan, Feast Forever, Finner, Foxloaf, Frozen Ninja, Gabriel, Gunner, H-Fire, Herx21, I Cosplay Gragas, Jake, Jody, Jay, Jeff, Jesse, Jigmink, Joby, John, Josh, Joyce, Josh, Joshua, Josh, Josh Plank, Joshua, Calzafar, Katie, Chaos Reaper, Kevin, Kieran, Clon Amy, Koi the Monkey Boy, Conrad, Crambone, Landon, Leafide, League Saint, Lacona, Lisp Sync, Little Pee Pee, Lucas, Madeline, Man Mannington, Marshall, Mary Makes No Sense, Matt, Max and Mox, Michael, Micah, Milkman, Mr. Ginger, Muse Guy, My Ball's Your Gin, Mystic Rune, Nathan, Nikoj, Nicole, NYC Poem, Oklahoman 10, Oscar, Panda Bear, Pards, Pocky, Raphael Walter, Rattlesnake Jake, Reckless Viper, Rugby Ninja 7, RJ Flynn, Ryan, Seth, Shark is Suffering, Skydrill, SMS, Stu, Stuart, Sunny Pebble, T Hubs, Tanky Crobat, Thane, The Last Samurai, Thomas, Titties and Bitties, Trevor, T Scotlam, Ty, Wallace, Womper, Wolf, Wolfie, Wyatt, X Strong, Yumi with a Gun, Zach, Zhaoman, and Zill.
Awesome. Thank you guys for listening. Send us an email, mail at leakcastpodcast.com. Watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/KingLightUp, Blue Basket, and LeakCastFrost. Visit our website, leakcastpodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/leakcast, and support us on Patreon, patreon.com/leakcast. Thank you once again for listening, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.